honestly, you know, you just don't know. You've been on the road a bit, and you know how things can happen, and suddenly, sometimes they do. I know Jane and Anna were telling me a little bit about their drive through Green Bay, and I could tell you a little bit about my drive through St. Paul, Minneapolis at night. In about four lanes of traffic, and not used to that, not seeing just too well. But I'll tell you what, the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and I do praise Him. I do praise Him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that there's none like You, Lord. Oh, God, You are the mighty one. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, inhabits eternity, Lord, and there's none like You, God. And, oh, Lord, we just thank You, God. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You work in our hearts. Oh, God, that You'd use, oh, Lord, these chapters or wherever You'd lead me to guide these people, Lord, to guide whomsoever might hear this message at some point. Oh, those precious ones online, God, that, oh, God, You would direct and keep and talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, we are Your people, the sheep of Thy pasture, Lord. God, we're needy, we're poor, we're wretched without You, God. We have no hope without You, Jesus. But, Lord, we thank You for what You've done and how You've lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, God, and put that song in our heart, even that praise to our God. And we thank You, Jesus, and we worship You, Lord. We ask that You'd be here. Oh, God, anoint these simple words and give us the direction that we need. Put faith in our hearts, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us to get to that place where You want us to be in You, Lord. Help us, oh, Lord, to live for You now while we can, Lord, while it is yet day, before the night comes when no man can work, Lord. Oh, God, inspire us and talk to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, You are good, Lord. Oh, God, You are good, Lord Jesus. And there's none like You, Lord. Oh, praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. He's in His the praises of His people. You know, He lives in them. You know, He's waiting for us to give Him our hearts. That's how you give Him your heart. That's one way. You lift up your voice to the Lord. You give Him your heart. You let it flow. You know, you let it come out. Oh, my. You know, yes. Yes, it's time. It's time for those old-fashioned revivals. It's time for those stirrings in the heart. It's time to get right with the Lord. Oh, we do praise You, Jesus. We do worship You, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, thank God. Oh, He is so good to us. And oh, thank the Lord. We have so much to thank Him for. I know this last trip I went to that area because Dan Sanger was asking for Tim and I to talk to him. And Dan's needed the Lord for a long time. He's been a hardline alcoholic for years, at least 20 years, and he's been a chain smoker, and I've talked to him in the past, and I talked to him on the phone when I was in that area the last time, and I just had a feeling there was going to be something that happened. But anyway, he started saying, I know I need help, but I've got to get right, and so praise the Lord, we had opportunity to talk to Dan, to lead him through many scriptures and talk to him. And I'll tell you what, he had tears in his eyes, crying out to the Lord. And Dan repented. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful. I you know, God is so good. And there's nothing, you know, you go through that and you lead someone to the Lord and you think, oh Lord, I can't wait for the next one, you know. It's just, it's so exciting. then I got back and I found I have an email from the Bowers in Minnesota also. We were there baptizing that family the first part of September, and now they say there's several more people there to be baptized, and Blake is out there. He's digging a swim area in their yard so that we could baptize people come spring, is what he's thinking. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is he's really something. I just had to go to an AT&T store on Sunday morning. My cell phone had run out of minutes, and I just didn't have anything at all. And I had to find out where one was first. Thank God it was one not too far away. So I did all that, and I went to the store and got some minutes on my phone again, and I was going to ask, I just thought I probably needed a Bluetooth also, and I was just going to, the man had said, is there anything else I can do for you? And I was going to say, well, I maybe should look at a Bluetooth. And just at that time, my phone rang, and it was Tim, and he was wondering what was up, of course. But so I talked to him for a while, but then after I finished that conversation, I thought, I've got to go back to the AT&T store. And lo and behold, this time another man there greeted me, and he was a young Puerto Rican man, I believe. I believe he had a praying mom, because I could just tell. I began to talk to him about the Lord, and he knew what I was talking about. He knew what I was talking about. He said, oh, you're just like my mother. She goes out there and preaches to people, you know. And he said, you're just like my mother, you know. And I could just tell, you know, she's been praying for this guy, you know. And here he is, Lord, and here I am, you know. And praise the Lord. I was able to minister to him too. And I thought, Lord, that is so amazing, the timing there. How, you know, you took me out of the store and then brought me back in, and here he was. I knew the Lord had sent me there. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And there were some others that I was able to talk to. There's a man in that area. He's from India, and the Lord sent him there. He works at Best Buy, and he's asking that somebody teach him the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. And I you don't hear that every day. You don't hear that every day. So praise the Lord. I just pray that somebody will teach him the book of Acts. Amen. Oh, man. There's another man from the Himalayas that I met. He seemed hungry too. I tell ya, there's work to be done. Praise the Lord. And we know a God who knows how to fill the hearts and knows the needs. And oh my, he can go where it needs to be done. He knows where to send us and when and how and all those details. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, praise God. Okay, we're going to go, Lord willing, into Jeremiah here a bit. And we spent time talking about a time of treachery there in these last chapters, 42, 43, and so. Oh, let's see. Okay. Actually, I believe it was 41 and 42, where it was very treacherous there. It's amazing. In spite of that, though, God took care of Jeremiah. He took care of his people, and those that would truly serve him, there weren't too many, it didn't seem like. But there was Baruch, and there was Jeremiah, very faithful men that serve the Lord. We'll consider them a little bit, I think, tonight if we get that far. But let's go to, Jeremiah 32. First of all, I just think I should just maybe say a few things about the 42nd chapter here, because it's prelude to chapter 43. And it was quite amazing. In chapter 42, and we talked about this, Johanan and Jezaniah and the people, they came onto Jeremiah, and they came asking that Jeremiah would pray for them. And that must have sounded so wonderful to Jeremiah at the first. Is this not on or something?
The lights are on. You're on.
You can't hear me? I wonder if it should be just a little, turned up a little bit, maybe. If I think it's the buttons over there, I believe. I just. Okay. Praise the Lord. Is it better?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Praise the Lord. It's one of those nights, I think, for little difficulties. Jane studied. Oh, my. We had such a wonderful song service. I hope you dear people online didn't have to miss that. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Okay. So here, just going through chapter 42 just briefly here, it must have been such a happy thing for Jeremiah. All at once they came to him asking that he would pray for them. You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you hear those words too often. Somebody pray for me. And, you know, it was on pretense, we find out later, but, you know, the other saying, pray that the Lord would show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. All those good things. And Jeremiah says, of course, I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to inquire for you. And just whatever the Lord tells me, I will tell you. I'll hold nothing back. And they said, that's good. The Lord be true, faithful witness. And if we do not do according to all the things that the Lord has sent thee to tell us, then, oh my, it's going to be on us. We're going to obey, whether it be good or whether it be bad, they said. So after 10 days, the word of God came to Jeremiah, and he began to tell the people. He gathered them all together to talk to them, and the word was that if you stay in the land, that the Lord would be with them, that God would build them up and not pull them down. He would plant them and not pluck them out, and that would be the end of all, the extent of his judgment there in the land. It was finished as far as that was concerned. He fulfilled that cup had been poured out, that wrath, and Jerusalem had been taken and destroyed. And of course, this was the remnant that remained there, and those that had returned in that case. And he told them to stay in the land, and God would have mercy. But see, there was something else stirring in their heart, because there was this thing. They kind of thought that they needed to go to Egypt. They were afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they had this in their heart. And they hadn't really told Jeremiah, but I think God began to tell Jeremiah. God began to tell his prophet what was in their heart, and they began to, he began to have that insight, that discernment that he needed. And he told them, but if you go to Egypt, it's not going to be well. God's going to pour out his wrath there on Egypt, just like he did at Jerusalem and in Judea. It's going to be poured out, and you're going to end up being an astonishment, an execration, and a curse, and a reproach among all those that might see you there. And he told them, go not down into Egypt. And this is what I am admonishing you this very day. Because it came to him that they were disguising, they were concealing the true thoughts of their hearts. It was dissembled in their hearts, their true motives, because they had determined that they were going to go to Egypt, that they were going to go. But as this chapter 42 is ending, he's saying to them, for you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord, your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. God told the prophet their thoughts, and here he's telling them they pretended that they wanted him to pray, and whatever the Lord said, they would obey. But when it came down to what God had truly declared, oh, they didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to give heed. Oh, they had resolved in their own mind what they were going to do, and it didn't really matter what God said to them. And you know, it's so true today, isn't it? So many people make a pretense that they're serving the Lord. So many people just draw nigh unto God with their mouth and honoreth him with their lips. But what does the scripture say there in Matthew 15? Their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. You know, people can say anything. A politician says all kinds of good things to try to appeal to people, but does it mean that he means it? Oh no, he just wants to be popular. He just wants to gain votes. And so it is. A lot of people pretend that they have a walk with the Lord and that they love God and that they're faithful and that they're diligent. And yet, you know, it's not going to do any good if your heart isn't in it. If you're not serving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, it's going to show. You know, it's not going to go too far, because we can all give lip service, but that isn't what's going to matter in the long run at all. Yes, that scripture there in Matthew 15, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Oh, how many people have their own set of doctrines, their own set of commandments, and say it's the word of God. And it is not. It is not. You can't add to this word and you can't subtract to it. It is written as it was meant to be written. And you know, the Lord, help us to walk according to it and to obey it. Amen. So there they were. They had feigned to be serving the Lord and to want to do the things that were right. Their hearts were far from God, though, and they were pretenders. So here we'll go into chapter 43. It tells us, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Oh man, they asked him. And he told them, and he'd been diligent. They should have known. I mean, they'd already watched it happen. They'd heard him preach time and time again there in Jerusalem and Judea and all that area, and telling them that destruction was coming and they needed to listen. God was going to judge them. And they saw God pour out his wrath. They'd already been through it. They should have known. But here, they have the audacity to say to Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Oh, I'll tell you what, sometimes that's the way it is with people. You know, they like it on the surface, but you get down into the nitty-gritties, and oh boy, don't tell me that. That could be true. Oh, that's not right. That's not what my mother taught me. Oh my, that's not what the priest showed me. That couldn't be right. But wow, we have to heed what the word says, what's written in the book. You know, that's what people are going to be judged by. That's what we're all going to stand before God and give an account of, how we've lived according to the book. And that's what's going to matter. And it continues here in Jeremiah 43. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on us against us, for to deliver us into the hands of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captive into Babylon. So now they're blaming Baruch, and Baruch had been just very faithful. He had been the one that wrote down the script for Jeremiah and brought it to the people and then to the king, who had, of course, ripped it up and put it in the fire. Not so good to do that, was it, Jehoiakim? But anyway, here they were coming after Baruch.
the son of Neriah, and they're saying, he's the one that incited this. He's the instigator. You're just going to cause the Chaldeans to come upon us and put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. And, you know, all that was their story at the moment. But that's not what it was. That was the truth at all. But they were resolved to go forward in their thoughts. This is what happens. Verse 4, so Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. They were forced to go. They were forcing the people to go to Egypt. And verse 7 says, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tophanes. And I really can't find Tophanes on the map, but what I understand is it was east of the Delta area in Egypt. And of course, wow, it's quite a long walk here. Here's Judea over here. Here's Egypt over here. Here's the Nile River. Here's the Delta area. And so it was east of the Delta area. So someplace over here is where they are at this point here in chapter 43. And it says, there they are in Tophanes, but the word of God's going to come to Jeremiah even in Tophanes. Even though they're in the land of Egypt, praise the Lord, God is still with Jeremiah. He was forced to go, he and Baruch and all the other people, but God is still with Jeremiah. And it tells us in verse 8, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tophanes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, hide them in the clay and the brick kind, which is in the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes, in the sight of the men of Judah, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send to take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them, pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall ray himself the land of Egypt, as the shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. So here it is. God was going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to now come into Egypt and do a work. God's calling him his servant at this point because Nebuchadnezzar is actually doing the will of God. It's not pleasant. It's not beautiful. It's not what you would even expect. But these people had disobeyed. They were disobedient. And God chastises those he loves. And there's a time when it's too far gone. And God's going to send out judgment at that point. And here it is. He's going to allow them to be delivered. Those that are determined for death to death. Those that are determined for captivity to captivity. Those that are determined for the sword to the sword. And he's going to kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt. He shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment. In other words, he's taking charge. He's taking authority. He's going to do the leading. And he shall go forth from thence in peace. They're not going to war against him. He's going to be in charge. And it says in verse 13, he shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. God was even going to use him to get rid of the idols. Those idols, those images that were in the house of the God there at Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh actually is also Heliopolis, which means the house of the sun. So you know it was for sure an area given over to idolatry. Let's see. Heliopolis is right here on the map, just below the Delta area there in Egypt. So Heliopolis was going to be used there. God was going to allow those houses of the gods to be burnt with fire. He was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to do that. Praise the Lord. There's going to be one way of getting rid of idolatry. You know, if we don't do it ourselves, there's going to be a day when, oh my, people are going to see that great thing that they neglected to do. And they're going to suddenly begin to throw their idols to the bats and to the moles and into the creeping things there in the caves, as it tells us in the book of Revelation. I think it's going to be rather late at that moment, because our God is coming with vengeance. But praise the Lord, we still now have opportunity to get right in the sight of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is what happened. They went off. In spite of what Jeremiah had told them, they went off to Egypt. And woe be to those that led them. Johanan. That's, you know, a terrible thing to mislead people. Yet how many people have their trust and faith in a pastor who's misleading and guiding them into hell? Believe me, it's happening. Believe me, it's happening. There's false shepherds all over the place pretending that they're in charge and pretending that they know the Lord, but instead they're leading people to hell. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be right in your sight and to rightly discern your word. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go into chapter 44. Then it says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at Tophanes, at Noph, and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. Behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Like I already said, you know, they witnessed what God had already done. They had already witnessed his judgment there in the land of Judah. They should have known. They should have feared God. You would think that would have done something to them to see the words of Jeremiah coming forth, being revealed, you know, coming into reality. But here they are, running away again, being disobedient. And it says in verse 3, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. God was responding to their rebellion, their open rebellion. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. They had been warned. They knew it. They had to know it in their hearts. Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. You know, there are things that the Lord despises. They're abominable in his sight. Yet how many people indulge and do it anyway? Oh my, but there's warning. There's warning, and it's time to take heed. And likewise, it says in verse 5, but they hearken not. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't give heed. They didn't obey. They didn't submit. But they hearken not, nor incline the ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. They should have known. You know, that had been told them from the beginning. There's only one God, and him you must serve. You know, ye shall have no other gods before me. It is, you know, it was should have been elementary to them. But yet, they hearken not, nor incline the ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. It happened just as the prophet had declared, just as Jeremiah had declared. Those streets there in Jerusalem were now desolate and empty, barren, void of people, void of joy, void of gladness. It was a strange time. But God had warned them, and so it was. Verse 7 says, therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from your man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. Their disobedience had led them to this circumstance, and to this desolation. It had brought them there because they had disregarded the words of God. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Oh my, we never want to cut ourselves off from God, do we? We don't ever want to be in that sorry state where we're cut off from God, and he no longer hears us, or knows us, or cares about us. Oh, it can happen, you know. It happened to Saul, the first king of Israel. You know, he had once been favorable in God's sight. He had once done exploits in the name of the Lord. He had once showed true humility and walked in faith and you know, stood tall and bold before the people. But pride entered into his heart, didn't it? Pride changed him, and suddenly, oh my, he forgot how important it was to obey the words of the Lord. Suddenly he was doing things according to his will, his way, his thoughts, not God's. And pretty soon, God left him because of that disobedience. Oh yes, it can happen. And it had happened here to these Israelite people here. And at the time of Jeremiah, they had provoked God unto wrath the works of their hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Oh, people have such a propensity to forget, don't they? To forget what was behind them. We were all brought out of a miry clay and set on the rock Christ Jesus. You know, we were all in that condition where we had no hope in this world and needed a Savior. But yet, how many times do people forget? Forget what God has done, what great works he has done to redeem us and to set us free and to bring us to himself. Mighty miracles, even to get our attention. For we are all headed for hell. Yes, we were all without hope at one point. We were all without God. But wow, what mercy he had. That mercy, that goodness of God that brought us to repentance so suddenly. We could see that we needed Jesus. We could see that we needed God. Oh my, that we needed to turn from our evil ways. And what a blessing that was when he opened up our understanding and we could see ourselves and we could humble ourselves. You know, it tells us in the next verse, verse 10, they are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. Oh, there was going to be an end because of the rebellion, the despicable things in their heart, if only they would have listened and turned to God. You know, Matthew 18 is so beautiful. It tells us the need, though, to humble ourselves as a little child. If we're to be converted, we have to become as little children. Otherwise, there's no way we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We've got to realize that we're a sinner. Listen, it can hurt. You know, that pride has to go. No, we've got to realize that we're nothing in the sight of God and that we've done abominable things and, you know, that we have no righteousness of our own. And if we can't get to that place, then, wow, God won't hear us. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But he said, except he be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh my, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many people think they're right in their own eyes. They think they're on the right path, but are they following the scripture? Are they following the word of God? Otherwise, they're doomed. Otherwise, it's going to lead to death. And most everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. You know, Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, there's the goodness of the Lord. But how many people try to cover their sins with their own filthy righteousness, so-called, their own filthy rags, their unclean things, and think that it's hidden from God and that they're okay and that they're going to escape. But it tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, praise the Lord for his goodness. Not only do we need to confess our sins, but also with that confessing, there's a forsaking. There's a turning around. There's a leaving those things behind. There's a getting right with the Lord. And then there comes mercy. Praise the Lord. And these Israelite people could have found mercy if they only would have feared God. But instead it says they had not humbled themselves, even unto this day, neither have they feared. Oh, that respect for God that brings a person to repentance. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. Oh, it wasn't going to be good for them at all. But this was open rebellion. It was open rebellion, and it didn't have to be that way at all. They could have turned to God and found favor with him. God is so merciful. His hand stretches out in mercy if we'll only allow him to work in our lives and change us. If we'll only become as a little child and submit our hand, our life, under the mighty hand of God, we can find mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Oh, yes,
just a simple thing, giving your life over to God, submitting it unto him, crying out to him, listen, our own righteousness, they are as filthy rags. Oh my, and we are all as an unclean thing, you know. We're going to fade as a leaf, you know. There's no hope without turning to God. But praise the Lord, he that confesseth his sins and turneth. Wow, there's mercy to be found. He that forsaketh those sins finds mercy of the Lord. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And it tells us here back in Jeremiah 44, verse 12, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest. By the sword and by the famine they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Wow, they had escaped initial judgment. These people, they were the remnant that had been preserved when the Babylonians came into Judea and destroyed them there. And some of them had come from the other lands to join them. They had once escaped, but now they're turning away. Now they're in rebellion. And it reminds me of Jude, the fifth chapter, where Jude wrote, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." The same thing happened back then at the earlier time. He brought them out of Egypt and gloriously, wonderfully brought them over that Red Sea and destroying the enemy completely out of their midst. But yet, when they got into that wilderness, and God was taking them into Canaan, suddenly, wow, they didn't remember so well, did they? They didn't do so well. They'd been saved once, but you know, we've got to continually make our calling and election sure. We're not home yet. You know, and there's not such a thing as once saved, always saved. You know, if we obey the Lord and do His will and let it grow in our hearts, we can stand fast. But if we neglect so great a salvation, if we don't give heed, if we don't walk that walk and commit everything to the Lord, we can find ourselves falling just like the Israelites. After they were once saved, afterwards they were destroyed because they believed not. Oh, that spirit of unbelief got into their hearts and destroyed them. So here they are. They had forgotten here that they were once delivered. And yet now they were going to come under the sword, under the famine, under the pestilence. And all of those things, God was going to He was going to punish them. It says in verse 13, "For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape." There was still going to be a handful that the Lord would preserve. And here it is, verse 15, "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude," not just a couple, "a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, 'As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee.'" This was open rebellion from a people that should have known better. It was open rebellion. Those in the land of Egypt, here in Pathros, which was actually the upper Egypt area, in that land, which actually is the southern part, this part of Egypt is called upper, and this part where the Delta area is called lower. It's kind of reversed to what we normally think, but here it's referring to those in Pathros. And that's how they answered. They're not going to hearken. That's open rebellion. And it says in verse 17, "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil." They're looking back and thinking, wow, we were still serving the Queen of Heaven and doing all those things, pouring out incense unto her and burning it, all those drink offerings and all, things were going well, they're saying. And we didn't see evil at that point. So they're using that as an excuse, so they are saying. It says, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things that have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our man? Oh, they were doing all those abominable things. And I'm afraid these things are still happening today. There's still people who make little cakes, put a tea on it, and call them hot cross buns, and, you know, do that at a certain time they call Easter. And all these other things, worship the Queen of Heaven one way or the other. It's still happening today. And a lot of times people think they have favor with God while they're doing that. There's a false sense of security that often comes with that. There's devils that often react to that kind of thing to make people feel like they're all right. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not what God's Word instructs us at all. And we need to give heed to the Word. If anything comes against God's Word, it could be an angel from heaven if it teach any other doctrine than which has been taught. As it declares in Galatians, the first chapter, let them be accursed. Whether it be an angel from heaven even, if it should happen to be. Or if it be a preacher or a priest or God knows who, declaring something that isn't recorded in this book, then let them be accursed. This is what we live by. This is our guide. And we can't deviate from it. We can't say, well, that just doesn't seem quite right to me. My own instinct tells me something different. This is exactly what these people were doing back here. They were going to work and do according to their own thoughts, according to their own ideas and way of thinking. And they weren't responding to the prophet. In fact, they were saying, what you say is not true. Oh, that's dangerous. It's a dangerous way to live. And verse 20 tells us, then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? Yes, there was somebody who was watching. There was somebody who saw them. And God calls it to remembrance. He saw it all. Unless there's repentance, there's going to be a time of judgment. And they had filled up that cup of God's wrath to the full so that God poured it out. It tells us in verse 22, so that the Lord could no longer bear. He warned them. He gave them opportunity again and again and again. Even when he wouldn't have had to, there would have been a way if they only would have turned. But there came a point that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil is happened unto you as at this day. They didn't get the point, did they? They didn't understand. They didn't take warning. They didn't take heed. Oh my. And now God's cup of wrath would be poured out on them also. Even in the land of Egypt, it would come. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we have Samuel the prophet saying to the people, you know, he's talking to Saul, actually, who, as I said, started out so good to obey the voice of God, but then started to do things his own way and didn't listen anymore. Samuel said unto him in verse 22 here, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. There's something that God sees that's essential. That's obeying the voice of the Lord. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. They had rejected the word of the Lord. It wasn't just with rebellion. It was with stubbornness. Stubbornness. It says here, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's the same as worshiping a golden calf, to be stubborn. That causes a lot of problems, doesn't it? You know, you see that in little children sometimes, you know, that stubborn element. And even though you tell them something, you know it's right, they don't want to listen sometimes. And then sometimes that spirit goes to rebellion, which causes so much grief. I'll tell you, the way of the transgressor is a hard road to be. I've watched the consequences of some of that rebellion. I'll tell you what, that's not asking for an easy life by any means. Oh, it's so much better to surrender your heart and life to the Lord and to listen to the words of life that are from the Word of God. Those words of life that will lead you to heaven. Oh, so much better than rebellion, which is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, which is as iniquity and idolatry. Oh, God, help us. Amen. God, help us. God, help us to listen. And here they were, these people. They had not listened. So it says in verse 24, moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. How many people vow in their heart that I was born a Catholic and I'm going to die a Catholic? That's the religion of my family, my ancestors, and I might see a few things wrong with it, but I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay right there. I've heard that way too many times. Heard it way too many times. And here's these people, we're going to stick to it, our own stupid ways. Oh, our own rebellious ways. Oh my, our wild ways, our contrary ways, we're going to stick to them. We're going to pay those vows. We've said we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Oh yes, you will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord liveth. Oh, in other words, God is dead to them. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. Oh, we never want to be in a position like this where God is watching over us for evil and causing evil to come upon us because of the rebellion in our heart, because he can't do anything with us. I mean, yes, children sometimes get to that place where you can no longer say anything. Your words are as nothing, and they're not listening and responding, and all you know is, all I can do is give them to the God. You know, all I can do is let them go, because there's no more that I can do to help them. And so it was here in the land. They were going to be given over for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. They were going to die in the land of Egypt. Except it tells us with some hope here in verse 28. Yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. It's going to be proven who's right, who's wrong. And so it will be when all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. So shall it be. At that moment, people are going to find out whose words are going to stand, their words or God's words. What's going to prevail at that moment? God's words, that's for sure. And it tells us in verse 29, and this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh, Hophrah, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. So Pharaoh, Hophrah, too, would be given over into the hand of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. He would not prevail. God was going to allow that evil to come into the land to punish these people, because of their open rebellion against Almighty God. You know, you can't sin and get by with it. It may be a surprise, and again, I've said this, sin is not going to stand in the sight of God. That's why we have to come to God in repentance and give Him our life. That's why we have to be clothed with His righteousness. Otherwise, we have none of our own. We have nothing to stand if we can't accept His atonement and what He did for us at Calvary. There's no penalty that can pay for our sin. There's no price that can pay for our sins if we neglect so great salvation. If we neglect what Jesus Christ did for us on that tree when He took our sins upon Himself. Oh, that perfect Lamb of God that paid that price that we might be free. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord for His eternal gift. Oh, my. Oh, we never want to be in that position where God says, no more. I'm going to send evil to you and not good. We never want to be in that place. We don't want to be the recipients of His wrath when it's poured out at the end of the world. We don't want to be there. We want to be clothed with His righteousness on the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. And praise God. We have moments right now to make our election and calling sure. We have moments right now to get right with God. We can come before Him now. His arms are still extended in mercy, that we might come to Him and give Him our lives and repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that hand is still extended to us that we might receive it. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad for what God has done. Oh, praise the Lord. And that we can still come to Him, receive of His mercy. It's going to be too late one day. Yes, that angel is going to stand one foot of the land, one foot of the sea, and declare that time shall be no more. It's going to be too late at that moment to call out to a living God and surrender one's life to God and get right. But you know what? We have a moment right now, don't we? We have an acceptable moment right now to get right with God. We can make our calling and election sure. We can come to Him in faith. Oh, yes. We need that faith to come to Him and believe that He is able to help us. Now is that acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Oh, praise the Lord. But you can wait too long. You can wait too long. But thank God, now, this moment, we can cry out to God. Oh, praise the Lord. And find that mercy in that shed blood at Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. There was none other that could do that. Oh, wow. An Almighty God that came to earth, robed Himself in flesh and put Himself under His own law and kept it
the only one that ever did that,
so
that he might give his life a ransom for many, that we might obtain salvation and be heirs of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you're still calling, Lord. Oh, God, that you still are receiving, Lord. Oh, God, that your mercy is still great to us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I pray, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that the people would come to you, Lord. Oh, God, that we would see, oh, Lord, people coming to that altar and crying out to you, Lord, in repentance and giving their life to you, Lord. Pray that we would see that, Lord. And, God, that we would see people go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Put it in us, Lord. Oh, God, to receive of thy promise. To do thy will. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Isaiah 49. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Oh, praise the Lord. There's deliverance for the people of God. There's deliverance. He came to set us free. Oh, praise the Lord. He came to set the prisoner free. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to be bound in chains. Oh, we don't have to be hindered. We can come to the Lord and receive of his mercy and grace, his mighty deliverance. Oh, praise the Lord. He says to them that are bound, go free, go free. To those devils, show yourself. Show yourselves. You can't hide any longer. You have to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. For I came to set the prisoners free. I came to bring deliverance. I came to bring salvation. Praise the Lord. We can believe him and we can have faith even in this last day and hour. Oh, praise the Lord for his mercy. It is good. Oh, the devil keeps people in bonds, in chains. He doesn't loosen the prisoner. But praise the Lord Jesus came to set us free, and he that is free indeed. And there's no freedom like being free from sin. Praise the Lord. Free from death. Free from hell. Praise the Lord. Our God, our Heavenly Father, robed in flesh, came to earth to set us free. Praise the Lord Jesus. We don't have to be like those rebellious people. Oh, no, we can. This is an acceptable time. We can give our lives to the Lord, even tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Samuel's coming. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. All right. Why don't we sing number 108, He Set Me Free. I'm glory bound, my Jesus. Dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.